Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. This evening, we talk about the impact on our lives when we learn that we are diagnosed with cancer, or perhaps a family member has been diagnosed with cancer. We are suddenly thrust into a whirlwind of thoughts and feelings that can wipe out our inner strength to survive. My guest this evening is Dr. Rick Boulay, a gynecological oncologist and passionate cancer survivorship advocate. We will talk about how he learned from his patients and the diagnosis of his own wife. He's developed a unique skill of utilizing the arts and has recorded 3 therapeutic CDs. And on Friday, April 4th, he will bring a presentation called Being Alive, Songs and Lessons from the Journey Through Cancer at the Allentown Miller Symphony Hall. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Rick Boulay to help us take charge of our lives and learn the art of survivorship when we are given the diagnosis of cancer. Welcome, Dr. Rick Boulay. How did you get started on this journey, Dr. Boulay?
Well, thanks, Ellie. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, and thanks for inviting me on. I think my journey through cancer probably began with my grandmother's diagnosis when I was a child. She was diagnosed with colon cancer back in the late 70s, early 80s. And at that time, she, as the matriarch of a large family, she was the glue that kept everyone together. And as she lived a lot longer in those days than people expected, she lived 5 years or so. But I watched the family fall apart. And as her disease progressed, I watched everything around her come apart. The glue that kept us together kind of wilted away. And it changed all of us in ways that were for the worst.
Is that because they didn't know how to deal with
it? Yeah, it wasn't a conversation that we had at that time. You know, you didn't talk about cancer
that
at that
was
time.
It. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was, you didn't want to bring it up to offend anyone. And certainly we've learned a lot since then. And that's been a bigger part of my journey. When I started to get into clinical care and really taking care of patients closely, maybe 20 years later than that, I realized that a lot of that same misinformation continued on. Despite the fact that people did better with cancers and lived longer and had higher cure rates, I mean, right now there's nearly 14 million cancer survivors in this country alone. So there's a whole lot of people. Pediatric cancers have 85% survival. There's just, the numbers are really, really good. Yet everyone comes in with a sense of doom, which I think we just draw back to those times, you know, maybe 20 years ago, when everyone felt as I did, that this is a subject that you don't broach and expect the worst.
And so everybody walks around dealing with their own feelings, but they don't deal with it. I mean, at that time, 20 years ago.
Yeah, and I'd
we don't mention it. You don't want to hurt the person who has the cancer diagnosis, and you walk around with your own feelings, and you don't want to hurt anybody. You want to get anybody upset, and yet we're all upset internally.
Right.
Dealing with it in our own way. And also not dealing with the loved one whom we want to connect with, instead of at that time, we were putting up a wall. You didn't say anything.
You run away when they need you most.
Exactly.
I have a friend who was diagnosed with a cancer that we treat. And she was diagnosed with an ovarian cancer at a very young age. She was in her early 40s. And when she went into remission and has been now for 8 or so years and has run a couple marathons and just an amazing, amazing person, Sharon, if you're listening. And Sharon, we had a dinner for her to celebrate her survivorship. And she relayed that she hadn't, and that was probably 6 months after her diagnosis, and she hadn't yet been able to talk to her sister at all about this. Her sister was so devastated, didn't know what to say, so chose not to say anything, which created that huge, as you say, that huge rift and a tremendous amount of isolation. especially at times when you need people most. I think people are so afraid to say something wrong, they choose not to say anything at all. And you don't have to say anything. Just be with someone. Just be there. Talk about the weather. You know, the difficulties, the tough conversations really don't have to happen. It's still the same person with the same needs and desires and same connections that you've had before.
So are you saying that there are a couple of things that happen? That number one, we're sometimes people become uncomfortable talking about the patient's illness or the whatever the diagnosis is, but they also, as a result, find it difficult to talk about other things that they usually talk about.
Exactly.
And so that there's a feeling of isolation and distancing rather than closeness and connection, which is what the patient wants and what we all want as family. So how did you find the way to bring about connection? What was the key for you, Dr. Rick Boulay?
Listening. You know, I'm in a privileged position to take care of a number of wonderful, wonderful people as they go through this journey. And they will tell you a consistent story. There's a consistent narrative of this disconnection between them and society in general, not only family members and friends. And what's safe to talk about, what's not safe to talk about, and how they kind of navigate those waters. And as we were talking about earlier, it's so important for me, as this became so personal for me, to share their wisdom, which has been just a godsend to me.
In what way did it become personal for you, Dr. Rick Boulay?
After my grandmother's cancer and that kind of latency in numbers of family members who've had cancer, my dad was diagnosed with a prostate cancer. And his, you know, I think in general men deal with this differently than women. And it actually improved our relationship. We always had a great relationship, but we started to do the things that we put off. Since then, we go skiing out west annually and so on and so forth. So it's tightened our relationship. But when your wife calls you in the middle of an office session and says, I have to tell you something, your wife was diagnosed with cancer, with leukemia, when she can't put it in anything but the third person because it's so foreign to her.
In other words, she gave you a phone call and said it was, and put it in the third person.
Yeah, yeah.
She was calling you herself and said, your wife mm-hmm. has been diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah. It was so foreign to her. And she doesn't remember doing it. I just remember that being so... It told the whole story. You know, it wasn't me that had the cancer. It was your wife, sort of a thing. You know, she separated between herself in the first and in the third person. So when I initially received that call, I had certainly understood the breadth of emotions and the gamut of emotions that people run through. I didn't get the depth. I didn't get how much it would actually change me.
And also change your wife. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. And this is your host, Eleanor Barbro. And this evening, we're talking with Dr. Rick Boulay, who is a gynecological oncologist and a passionate cancer survivorship advocate. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit more. But this was really something. So your wife presented her diagnosis in the third person.
She did. And I was at work, the irony, taking care of the cancer patients that I take care of. And she said, don't come home. You know, I had a friend come over to help. And I said, you know, this is probably when we need to be together most. So I had people cover for me, and we canceled that office session. And more irony, her blood count was very low and had difficulty even walking up the stairs. I couldn't stand to be in the house. So I dragged her, poor thing, up and down the street just to walk. And that was when Google Earth took pictures of you know, of your street and your address. And there we are.
You mean climbing up the stairs?
No, walking down the street, and there's a picture of us, and it's at the address that our neighbors live at, having the same discussion. You know, there it is. Who would have ever thought at that time? But recorded in infamy.
Maybe, but it sounds like that was something. Maybe was that a sign that maybe you have to go more public?
I don't know. We weren't ready at that point, but of course that was minutes after diagnosis. But it has been, the interesting part is that really is a new foundation for the rest of our lives and how we've chosen to live our lives. We have we've chosen to live more in the now. As you know, you're 40 some odd, you have kids that are 9 and 13, and your life just goes on. You don't expect a insult like this. You don't expect chaos and these kind of changes. But that's life. Life does that to all of us. Your ability to kind of bounce back and your resiliency and all of those things are challenged, and you learn tremendous new skills, but more so to just sit and enjoy what's around you. All the platitudes that we've been told throughout our life become so true and so valid at that moment.
So what you're saying, Dr. Rick Boulay, is that first you get the shock. First you get the shock of what is of the diagnosis, because all of our impulses is why me, and why now? And what you're saying is it takes some time to jolt us back, and maybe with the proper support, we can find ways to say, I don't know why me, don't know why now, but let's find a way to cope with it. Let's find a way to make the best use of what we've got left to enjoy and to be. Would that be accurate, Doctor?
That's absolutely accurate. And not only does it take time, and I think you were alluding to this, it takes work. That doesn't just happen. And it does occasionally, and I'm always amazed when I'll have patients who will come back after their surgery and we discuss their cancer and what treatments that they need. And then, you know, within a couple of weeks, they'll say, my cancer is a blessing because, and then fill in the blank.
Give me a blank.
My cancer is a blessing because it's helped me focus on what I want to have out of my life. My cancer is a blessing because it's helped the relationship between me and my estranged child who lives in California. My cancer is a blessing because now I know what's bothering me and we can work on fixing it. So there are any numbers of them, but it always catches me flat-footed when people say that so quickly.
So we're going to learn more about how we can take the diagnosis of cancer and survive beyond our expectations when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Our spring membership drive runs April 4th through the 12th. Once again, you have the opportunity to buy back several on-air pledge days. Visit WDIY.org and make your donation today. If we raise $15,000 by April 3rd, we will push back the start of our pledge drive by 3 days. That will give us a pledge-free weekend. Supporting WDIY is quick, easy, and safe. Log on to WDIY.org, make your donation today, and enjoy more of the programs you love on WDIY. Thanks.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with Dr. Rick Boulay, who is a gynecological oncologist and a passionate cancer survivor advocate. And we're talking about, in this part of the program, we're going to talk about how people can use different tools to help them, number one, connect with themselves, connect with their family members, connect with life. And what are some of the tools that you have learned to use, Dr. Rick Boulay?
Well, I think people get the sense that healing occurs in a doctor's office. And I think
take one pill and call me in the
exactly.
morning.
Exactly. And I think the treatment occurs in the doctor's office, but I think most of the healing occurs outside. And each person brings their unique view on what they find healing. For me, it's always been the arts. Literature has been important to me, and not so much the big writers, but how people portray their cancer survivorship and the passion that they write with has been something that's really appealed to me. And it probably has done so because to get through a lot of these things that I did, I began to journal, which is one of the techniques that is taught to survivors as you go through any traumatic journey, to begin to get your feelings down. And those actual journalings became essays, which have been published in a number of medical journals, which wasn't my original intent. But when I looked back at them, I said, wow, I've learned a lot. So maybe I can share with other folks. Music has been always a part of me. And going back to my grandmother with her cancer diagnosis, she gave me my first guitar for Christmas and my first keyboards, and we used to sing together at Christmas midnight mass. And so we had a wonderful music relationship between the two of us. And of course, that gets put to rest when you're training for anything as time intensive as medicine. And it came out a little bit later, but never so much as through the cancer survivorship. And what I began to find, and again, someone who's maybe literature and music passioned, lyrics in songs seem to really connect with me. And I'd be, you know, in bed. I oftentimes would wake up at night, and that's when I'd be writing or listening. And I would find a song that would just so speak to me. And it was more so the combination of the music and the power of the lyric.
Can you give us a song that you remember that really empowered you or made you think or connect with?
I think one that most people will connect with is Over the Rainbow.
Oh, yes.
And that's one that I'll be performing soon. That song, for me, never meant too much because I grew up with The Wizard of Oz, and it was just a nice little girl singing a song. And yet my other grandmother would always cry at that song. And I could not, she cried at Taps because her dad was buried with Taps. And she cried at Over the Rainbow. I'm like, it never made any sense to me. And then when I heard it in a new light and I heard of where do you find hope? Is hope somewhere out there? Is hope inside me? Where is Over the Rainbow?
And that's when you were dealing with your wife's diagnosis.
With my wife's diagnosis. Right. And all of a sudden, listening it in a new context made me say, okay, now I get it. Now I get why that song was so meaningful for her. And so I perform that one, and usually I have to look away because it is, people find that one so meaningful. It's usually a tearjerker. Yet that's never how it came into my life. I think I've repurposed that song in probably its truest sense, where it's not a song from a little girl hoping that her dog comes home. It's a song of deep longing that we all connect with.
Absolutely. So you connect with music, you connected with writing, and it's a way, as a matter of fact, journaling is a way of releasing everything that's on our minds so that if you find it difficult to sleep at night, you can have a journal right next to you. Since you can't sleep anyway, it's wonderful to have a pen, or if you have your tab handy in this day and age, nobody writes with pen and pencil anymore, but to write down your thoughts and feelings, and that releases them. And I don't know that everybody would have the opportunity to publish, but for you it was an opening. It became a creative experience.
Exactly. And it was surprising to me that it resonated with people, because it was, it's a very personal part of your life and a very vulnerable part of your life. And I think maybe people are interested in that because we all go through those times and
yes.
See how someone managed that. It's not the answer to everything, and it's not an answer to many folks, but if you can connect with, exactly, and then you begin to look beyond that and see how other people have approached it. There's many survivors who use athletics and a lot of people who do a lot of long-distance running.
Or how about drawing, art?
And exactly, and in fact, Heather Rodale has a Healing Through the Art group who supports not only getting artwork from the artist that's healing, but then into public settings of healing. The hospitals and clinics and that
yes.
sort of thing. And that's been a wonderful success. So I think people are really looking toward the arts as a novel way of expressing those deeper thoughts.
And I think it's very important to understand that to utilize these methods of the arts, one doesn't have to be quote-unquote an artist. You don't have to be quote-unquote a novelist. You just have to express who you be mm-hmm. in whatever form that is meaningful for you, because the purpose is to bring healing to oneself and to express one's inner feelings that you might not be able to express quote-unquote verbally. But it's a way to get everything out so it isn't stored within us.
Exactly. And it's beyond critique because it's yours. And you don't have to show it to anyone. No one else has to see it. You don't have to be that courageous to put it out there.
So the arts are a wonderful a wonderful guide to healing. How did you come upon this concert that you're coming up with, which you're singing songs that you've created? Tell us about that. And it's going to be held at the Allentown Miller Symphony Hall?
That's right. The Allentown Miller Symphony Hall on April the 4th of this year, 2014. It's been a long journey to get there. As I said, music has been, I've enjoyed music since I've learned to play guitar at four. So it's always been a part of my life. I put it away while I was training. However, then it came back in its truest form of expression and touching you very, very deeply in very, very difficult times. And I began to see that, oh, this other people see this connection too. I never, and still don't, consider myself a performer. I see it more as an education and sharing of important learnings. And over the past few years, as I've recorded more and more, and people have said, oh yeah, that song means so much to me, or this one, I just don't get. Why did you even put that here? And fostering other discussions, which is what it is. It's a basis, to a foundation to start healing from there, made me say, well, maybe this will be attractive to other folks too. So we've put this together, and I've been really working on it for about 6 months, and have done smaller versions of it through the hospital. But I think, as we've said earlier, that healing oftentimes occurs outside a clinical setting, and this will provide that.
Now, is the music you're going to be performing music you've composed yourself, or music that you've gathered together? And suppose a person would like to come to the concert but is unable, or you may be sold out. How could they get copies or hear your music if they're not able to attend the concert?
The collection of songs that I sing are usually covers of other people's music. I find that other people can connect with them because they've heard many of these songs before, such as Over the Rainbow. And I've recorded many of them in a healing setting. The insert that comes with them within the CD actually explores a lot of the questions that I hope to help generate by the songs. We can get them, or people can get them online at the Journey Through Cancer, all one word, website, which is a website that we all connect with in various cancer discussion venues. The music is just a part of it. Or at the Lehigh Valley Health Network gift shops. They sell them as well.
Tell us the name of the website again, please.
JourneyThroughCancer.com.
JourneyThroughCancer.com, and there they can listen to the music as well.
Exactly. There's a tab to listen to it. If they want to purchase it, it will take you to Amazon or whoever is selling it as well.
Well, I think this is a very interesting journey, because people, while people have not necessarily associated healing through music with cancer survival, and yet just recently there was a demonstration that people who were suffering from memory loss, from dementia, when given tape recorders with music from their generation, began to respond, and they connected. They weren't necessarily able to talk about it, but they were able to connect with it. So what you're saying about music as a way of helping us to survive, helping us to thrive, is very powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And those studies have been done in cancer patients as well. I just pulled a whole literature search on that. And there's continued publications on reduction in anxiety and reduction in blood pressure and pulse rate in thousands of studies that have been done in the medical literature.
And what are the statistics on survival as a result of using the arts? Are there any studies that have
that
shown?
I'm unaware of, but I'll pull that. It's an interesting thought.
But anecdotally, you see it around you.
Well, anecdotally, you see, and it depends on how you're going to term survival. We in oncology usually term it as, you know, the number of days that people are walking on the earth. But survivorship has to do with good quality life and the importance of the arts on improving quality of life is definitely there.
So that's a very interesting distinction. So one is length and the other is quality. Mm-hmm. And the arts help to improve the quality and help us to make use of the time we have on Earth to the best of our ability.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
I want to thank you so much, Dr. Rick Boulay, gynecological oncologist, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding that folks that carry a cancer diagnosis and those who love them can attest to the power and transformative nature of a cancer journey through the arts. Thank you for helping us to understand that there are more ways to deal with cancer than medical procedures. There are lessons to be learned through storytelling, artwork, music, and journaling. Thank you so much for helping us to take charge of our lives. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.